Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of November 27th, 2018, and episode number 377. Wow, November 27th. Where has this year gone? I don't know. This is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, and we are live right here on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. Yeah, it's I'm coming to you from the frosty Northeast Ohio studios of the Paranormal News Insider. It's a balmy 27 degrees outside. Well, it's not really balmy. It's pretty cold. It's been freezing cold all day. I'm already done with winter. I can't wait till spring. Or at least January. I'll be in Arizona for a week, which is, I'm looking forward to that. Maybe thaw my feet out for a little bit. But yeah, hopefully the weather isn't too bad. I don't want to cry and complain because I know some places we're dealing with dry weather and fires and things like that. But, yeah, it's Ohio, and it'll be in the high 40s, low 50s on the weekend. And that's what we get here. And then, on Monday or 2 weeks from the weekend, we'll all be sick. Yeah, that's just how it rolls here in the Buckeye State, Northeast Ohio. We get gonna have all four seasons really in one day. But we are concentrating here on the year, the end of the year, as tonight, yes, it's time. It's time to debut the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2018. And I'm kind of getting an early crack at it because you really haven't seen too many of these best of or top 10 countdown things anywhere. And I'm going to hopefully beat them to the punch because they're coming. And we usually get inundated with all of these top this and top that stories. So hopefully I'm going to kind of beat it to the punch. I'm not going to do the entire countdown. So I'm going to tease you. I'm only going to debut number 9. Well, number 10 and then number 9. I'll do it in that order, obviously. So just doing the top 10, I'll do 2 tonight. I'll do 2 on December 4th. My goodness, next week is December already. Then we'll debut number 6, number 5 on December 11th. Then number 4, number 3 on December 18th. And I do plan to take Christmas Day off. So you're going to have to wait a whole year. Well, okay, January 1st. I'll do a New Year's Day show. Don't worry, I'll be sobered up for the most part for that, I guess. And we'll do the number 2 and number 1 story of 2018 on that day. So yeah, it's going to be stretched out well over a month. And during that time, obviously, we're going to have new news as well as talk about some of the stories that didn't make it this year. And we'll also touch on some of the top stories of the last decade. Now, I've only been doing the top 10 since 2010. So this is technically, this would be the 9th year I've done it, and I only really did the top 3, 2008, 2009. Back then, this was a monthly show. I don't know if there's anybody still alive that listened to that show, to this show way back when. That was a long time ago, it seems like. So yeah, that's the plan anyway, and I kind of built it in just in case something happens. And, you know, we all get sick this time of year. Things happen. Power outages, you know, anything can happen. So, you know, I want to make sure I structured this top 10 just to kind of, just in case something happens that I don't have to do it all in one night, but don't worry. I will rehash the countdown as we get closer to the number one story. We'll go back and talk about the top 10. I'm excited about it. I was kind of, thinking about not doing it this year because I did take a pretty healthy break during the year off. But I decided, well, I've done most of the year and you never know what could happen with these stories, and somebody had mentioned, I think it was last year, they said, well, aren't you a little worried about doing the countdown in November? I mean, what if something big happens? Well, that's the risk I take. That's the chance I take. And odds are nothing's really going to crack the top 10 this time of the year. And if it does, I can readjust it. I can add things in. I think I've only done that once. And if there is a story that's that big, you know, we'll cross that bridge if we do get to that. So I see some people in the chat room throwing some things out there. Art Bell, that's a good candidate. The Ireland UFO story, that's a pretty good candidate. Let me check my list here. Well, those are two pretty good possibilities. Maybe, possibly, maybe top five. Maybe didn't even make it to the top 10. Who knows? Those are some pretty big stories, but you have to be careful because the Ireland UFO story is fairly recent. It's fairly recent. So sometimes, you know, we have to be careful with news stories. I'm not saying it's not in the top 10. Uh-oh, is it? I don't know. You'll have to tune in and find out. It could be. Art Bell? Well, I don't know. We had a lot of passings this year, so a lot of people passed away. Was Art Bell's unfortunate death, was that enough to crack the top 10? Well, I don't know. Again, you'll have to tune in. You'll have to find out. Gosh, we lost a lot of people this year. Stephen Hawking. He was on this. He was actually in the top 10 a few years ago. Actually, probably all the way back in 2010, I think he was in the top 10. Michael Persinger. Doug Bauer. You may not know who Doug Bauer is. He was one of the Doug and Dave guys who basically invented crop circles. We also, a very sad death, television show Finding Bigfoot. We all cried when that ended, right? Okay, so maybe it was just me. No, it wasn't me. Kepler Space Telescope. That just, I know, it's a telescope. It's not dead. Well, it's kind of dead. It's just drifting out there in space all alone. It's sad. Stan Lee, well, Stan Lee, you know, it was pretty sad and kind of sudden. I mean, he had health problems, but, you know, he's not really paranormal. I mean, he did create the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or the Marvel Universe at least, which led to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which really has inspired a lot of people to think outside the box. So maybe, just maybe, he's also made that top 10. Who knows? But you're going to have to tune in. And tonight, coming up later on in the show, I'm not going to tell you when. It's called a teaser in the business to get you to listen to the entire show. Listen to all my advertisements. Just kidding. I don't have any. Don't worry. Don't worry. Number 10 and number 9 are definitely coming up tonight. But first, that's not all. We've got some other news in the news this week. We're going to talk about some exotic cats on the loose in Long Island. Or is it just one cat? It's confusing. We'll be searching for cryptids. Or are you searching for cryptids? Well, if you are, I've got just the travel site for you. And we're also going to be talking about Atlantis. It's been a long time since we've mentioned Atlantis here on the Paranormal News Insider, but it's coming tonight. It's been discovered. That's right. You heard it here first. Atlantis has been discovered. We'll give you the details coming up tonight, along with the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2018, with number 10 and number 9. Sounds exciting, right? I'm excited to listen to this show. This is fantastic. It sounds great. Oh, wait, I'm the host here. That's right. So, yeah, buckle up, strap in, get warm, get cozy, because it's going to be, well, we only got 50 minutes left, so it's not going to be that long, but don't fall asleep. Just get, you know, grab some warm beverage, or maybe you like cold beverages, I don't know. Single malt scotch whiskey, I don't know, whatever your pleasure is, just relax and listen to the news here tonight. Well, I normally talk about the paranormal conferences, conventions, but not to beat a dead horse here, but I'm still putting together the cryptid and UFO events for next year. I was a little busy putting together this top 10 over the last week. Have some other projects I'm working on as well, which I can't talk about yet. But I'll talk about probably at the beginning of the year. Little small project. Nothing major. Don't worry. And so if you do have any kind of paranormal conference or convention and you would like to submit that to my list, just, again, let me know. Go on the website. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com. Or, again, you can go to the website, check it out, check out the list, and make sure that it's not on there first. And you can also email me through the website at paranewsinsider.com. And, yes, we landed on Mars. How exciting is that? It's not the first time, but some people are acting like it's, somebody like freaked out today on me and said, oh my gosh, did you hear we landed on Mars? I'm like, yeah, like 20 times. Where have you been? But it's a really interesting event. And there was also, it's kind of spooky. They had not only just this one lander come down, they're going to be looking for water, which is well, I don't know. That could be one of the big stories we talk about next year, life on other planets. But I always worry because we keep sending junk to outer space. We keep sending junk to Mars. A lot of stuff we've force crashed on that planet. Who knows if we've accidentally sent something up there? I don't know. I just kind of wonder about that kind of stuff. But hopefully we can, if we do find some sort of simple life, I don't think we're going to find a Walmart on Mars or sophisticated aliens driving around Flintstone-type vehicles or anything like that that's shown up in pictures lately. But maybe, just maybe, something is discovered up there. So you never know. The better the technology we send to these other planets, I think the better chance we do have of locating it. It's really a fantastic story of this. If you've not read about it, I highly recommend reading the story about this this new Mars a craft, how it just, about a mile up, it was going super fast. They had the parachutes out, then they cut the parachutes about a mile up, and this thing just drifted down. And it shot these jets, and this thing just gently landed, going 5 miles an hour. That's insane to think about how far away that is. And this thing just gently landed on the lunar surface. And it's investigating Mars quakes, not earthquakes. You can't have earthquakes on Mars. It's impossible because it's Mars. So there's no such thing as an earthquake on Mars because it's not Earth. It's Mars. Just the same as we studied moon quakes. And yes, speaking of the moon, the Soviets are also going to the moon. And one story that's floating around here in the paranormal circles, don't take it too seriously. It was a tongue-in-cheek comment on a radio show where the cosmonauts there, they're going to check and verify that the U.S. did in fact actually go to the moon. You know, I think they're a little salty still about all that stuff. The race to the moon, we beat them, hands down. Put the sickle down. We beat you. We got there first. So they're going to go up there and taunt and tease us, and I mean, who knows? We got some weird stuff about Elon Musk says 70% chance he's going to go to Mars, even if it kills him, which it probably will. It's not too smart of a move. I think I'd let somebody else go up there first. I mean, you got the pocketbook for it. Let somebody else go up there and do that. So far, we have this InSight lander that's landed there. It's pretty cool. It's big news. But not really paranormal at this point. Who knows? We might see something on a camera or a picture, and it could change everything. But I think it's going to be, if we do find anything, it's going to be simple life, and it's going to change things here on Earth, I think, if we do. So we'll stay tuned to that story and see how that develops. I love space, and I love all the stuff that goes on. That's why we do talk about some of these things. I do talk about these telescopes and these exoplanets and different things. Kind of passionate about that because that's kind of probably where we're going to find this life in outer space first. And it'll be big news. But for the meantime, let's go back to planet Earth and talk a little cryptid news which we've got some weird, strange things creeping around in New York. Well, other than those people in Manhattan, Long Island. Well, Long Island, New York. Yeah, there's some weird people up there, too. Don't get me wrong. Been there before. Long Island, New York. Well, it's actually no stranger to the paranormal world. If you remember way back when talking about top stories, one of the top stories of the last decade, let alone for 2008, it was probably the top story of 2008. The Montauk Monster. Remember that guy? Yeah, the Montauk Monster was the big story back in 2008, along with the Stephenville UFO case. And I forget what else. There was another UFO event that happened that year, but it was a long time ago. We'll talk about that. Don't worry about it. The Montauk Monster was essentially a case of unknown identity. It was probably I think they said it was a badger or raccoon that was dead, bloated, and washed up on the beach. And everyone thought it was some strange creature that was from a mysterious animal hospital that was creating alien creatures and blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. It was just a misidentified known animal. I mean, heck, if you were in the water for a few weeks, a few months, and washed up on the beach, people would think you're an alien too. Especially if you're wearing that Speedo that you always wear. Yeah, so the Montauk Monster was a case of unknown identity, a little bit of mystery, and a hint of cover-up due to this this strange animal facility. The latest out on the island starts in the quiet area of Sag Harbor and ends up about 7 miles southwest in Water Mill. It sounds so pleasant. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere on Long Island, away from the hustle and bustle of the other boroughs. Back on October 5th of this year, artist and set decorator Stephen Wright, no, not the comedian, Stephen Wright filmed a strange-looking cat behind his house. At first, the cat resembles a mountain lion or just a large house cat, but it's in fact a caracal, which is kind of not one of the top cats that you talk about, you know, coming from Africa. It's also in the Middle East and Central Asia. It's not one of the big known cats. It's actually it's known as a small cat or a wild cat. It's one of the largest of these small cats, if that makes sense, if that kind of boosts its ego a little bit. So a caracal, they're not very big. They're much smaller than mountain lions. They have these weird looking ears, have these long tufts. They kind of look like a lynx with those weird ears. They don't have that nice looking collar that a lynx has. But their skin color, I should say their hair color, resembles that of a mountain lion. But this guy saw it in his backyard. He filmed it through a fence and was talking to it. He talked to it like it was his own cat. And the caracal was kind of talking back to him a little bit, meowing a little bit. The guy was a little hesitant, didn't know what it was. And I mean, who does? I mean, people don't know what a caracal is. I mean, it's not really one of the household names of cats. The cat was aware of his presence, but it didn't really run off. It didn't really run away, which was a little concerning for me. And the other concerning thing was the cat was wearing a big collar on it, like somebody was taking it for a stroll and it just kind of got away. It also had some sort of decorative tag on it, which unfortunately means it was probably somebody's pet. The cat also stretched its long arms on a tree, but there were no claws extended as it did. So that led to the belief that this cat was probably declawed. So caracals, these are exotic animals, and they're actually illegal to own in the state of New York by private owners. You can't own them. You can't sell them. You're not supposed to have them. However, looking through the news, in July of this year, two baby caracals were rescued from an illegal pet owner in Buffalo, New York, along with servals and a Savannah cat. The possession, sale, barter, transfer, exchange, and import of wild animals as pets is strictly prohibited under New York, in New York under New York State Environmental Conservation Law 11-0512. Sound like a police officer. So sadly, on Monday, November 11th, a dead Caracal was reported to authorities in Watermill on Long Island in New York. And this thing just didn't wander into Long Island. Long Island is it's an island. It's a big island, but it's surrounded by water. And you'd have to go through basically New York City to get there. And I'm sure it didn't swim from Africa. I'm pretty positive it didn't swim from Africa. So it's probably an illegal pet. Somebody with a little bit of cash flow had probably a status animal. I'm sure we'll find it on Facebook somewhere. However, comments, well, I should say the cat was identified as a male Caracal that had no claws. It had claws and did not have a collar. So that's kind of opposite of what this video showed. The video showed the cat with a collar, and it appeared that this cat in the video had no claws. But this dead cat that was discovered on November 11th, about 7 miles away, had claws and did not have a collar. Comments on the original article from November 15th of this dead cat has a woman who states that she was the one who reported the cat and that it did in fact have a collar. So it's confusing there why they're reporting that it did not. To me, it wouldn't have been a big deal. Maybe the cat, the collar fell off of the cat. I don't know. You know, many are wondering if the original cat had no claws and a collar, and this cat had claws but no collar, that this could mean that there's two Caracals hanging around. And one of the suspicions is that the female is missing, since we found the male, and whoever had these was breeding them. I don't know. My guess is either that the second reported cat lost its collar, or, you know, again, it might have been reported wrong. If this person says that she'd seen it with the collar, the dead cat, she called it in. Maybe the collar was retrieved, and when somebody else showed up, it didn't have the collar on it. I don't know. So it was just misrepresented in the news. Like, that never happens. And the cat in the original video was thought to be declawed, but it didn't show the claws when stretching and running its paws down the tree, which we would kind of expect that to see, because we see that with our cats. And this is very closely related to, you know, regular cats. So we'd kind of expect it, but it's not necessarily true. If it was just stretching and wasn't really clawing the tree, it might not show its claws. So it's possible the cat may not have used its claws at that moment. It's actually pretty difficult. I kind of watched it. Don't judge me, but I watched the video looking for hints or clues of the sex of this cat. Don't judge me. I was just doing research. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But it was really difficult to tell whether this cat was male or female, since size and sexual organs basically are the only two factors that tell them apart. And there's no other cat there along with this one to kind of judge its size. There's really wasn't much there to really judge how large or small this cat was. I'm not really a Caracal expert per se. I don't know if there is one. There is the video, which I'll throw in the chat room, that you can check out. It's hopefully it'll have the image there will show up of the cat. Maybe not. And I don't really have a picture of one, but we can hope here that the video is going to have. And it's not. So we'll find a Caracal. They're pretty simple to find here. But it's the big mystery. I mean, to me, the mystery isn't, is there two cats? The mystery is, why was this cat here? You know, who owned this Caracal and why? Why did it end up dead? I mean, it shouldn't be there at all. It's illegal to own by private people. You know, it's sad, unfortunately. And why did they leave it? Why did they let it loose? It's mysterious, but it's really sad. I'm a little upset that they actually would just let this thing loose and didn't report it. I mean, maybe they didn't report it because they know it's illegal. But at the same time, like, it's a living creature. Why didn't it get reported? That's really what I wonder. Will we hear anything else about this? I don't know. I would hope so that somebody would step forward and say, hey, that was my caracal, and unfortunately, it escaped or whatever happened, and we can, you know, we can move forward from there. And they're not even doing a necropsy on this creature, so which is an autopsy for animals. They're just going to kind of, there you go. You wanted a picture? There's a picture. It's ginormous. It's got those little cool little things on its ears. But yeah, I would see how somebody would mistake that cat for a mountain lion. It looks pretty, they look pretty close, but they're a little smaller. Oh, they're much smaller. But they're bigger than your average house cat, pretty much. And so I sent the link of the story into the chat room, and I'm going to put the link to the story in there as well. So that's one thing you get if you tune in live and you tune in into the chat room. You get bonus stuff. You get the links to all these stories before I put them out on Facebook as well as Twitter later on in the week. And yeah, they do look like a lynx. I think they're related to them. But these are small cats. They're not, well, lynx aren't really big cats either, but they're cousins. They're cousins. But again, this is Africa, Middle East, and Central Asia. So they're not from here. So there's no way for them to cross the land bridge and suddenly show up in Long Island, New York. So somebody brought them there. Somebody deposited them out in the woods. Did they escape on their own? Well, these guys can jump. They can jump pretty high. They're not necessarily climbers, but they can climb and they can jump. So, you know, mountain lions, those guys are climbers. They climb trees. Unfortunately, typically to escape hunters to release dogs on them, which is pretty sad to talk about. These guys they're jumpers. But they don't eat, well, they don't eat kids, first of all. Kids aren't on the menu, but they do eat smaller animals like mice and probably rabbits. And I guess they eat small deer or small antelope, whatever they have in whatever country they're in. So they do go after a little bit larger prey, but not quite large deer like a mountain lion would as well. So what else we have? We do have one more story. Really interesting thing, I think. It's I'm a little late on this one, but I figured this is a really cool story, and I did want to talk about it. It is about crypto tourism. It's not really a household term, but crypto tourism is a growing area of tourism, which is spearheaded by locations such as Loch Ness, home of the Loch Ness Monster. So crypto tourism, it's pretty similar to paratourism or ghost tourism, where people go out to haunted locations and look for ghosts at these popular places. I guess it's a thing. It's a fad. But crypto tourism, you're looking at the cryptids, cryptozoology, strange animals, animals that shouldn't exist, mythical monsters, different things that are out there in the world, such as Loch Ness. And ghost tourism, my goodness, it's paratourism. It's just saturated everywhere. Everywhere here in the United States and in the United Kingdom as well. It's a big thing, and I don't know. I think it's gotten too big, and it's going to pretty much collapse on itself. One quick question here in the chat room about the caracal. Any human attacks? No, these are pretty small cats. They're actually not really intimidated by humans. If you go to YouTube and you look up caracal, just recently there was a gentleman who got pretty close to one in the wild in South Africa, and it didn't really freak out. I was looking at him, kind of checking him out, like, don't come any closer. I'm gonna freak out and run. They don't really attack people. They're really small. They're really timid, and they're plentiful, but you know, they avoid people just like mountain lions do. But unfortunately, people end up going into mountain lion country. And if you're going to be riding a bike or jogging down the pathway, you kind of trigger a certain response from these large cats. And they will hunt you down. They'll chase you. Not that they want to, but you're triggering that response. It's kind of like dipping a little plastic mouse in catnip, and then running it across the carpet in front of the cat. What do you expect the cat to do? He's going to jump on you. He's going to jump on your hand. He's going to jump on that mouse. He's going to chase it because that's what they do. It's their instinct. And that's really what happens with mountain lions. They don't want to kill people. It just happens. We're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But caracals, these are small cats. They're more likely to run away and hide. They're just little guys. Kind of like, you know, wild cats, you know, cats that just live out in the wild. They're not that big. I've never read or heard about caracals attacking people, nor servals, which are a little bit more popular than the caracals. But servals a little bit more dangerous than the caracal, a little bit bigger too. But anyway, back to crypto-tourism. Crypto-tourism is, like I said, it's a growing area of tourism, and it's said to generate 40 million British pounds sterling. That's a lot of pounds. That's a lot of time on the treadmill, which is, to us here in the United States, it's about just over $50 million. That's for the Loch Ness Monster. Just for the Loch Ness Monster, $50 million in that small area of Scotland. I mean, that's a lot of money. And here in the United States, the search for mythical monsters and strange beasts is estimated to generate over $140 million per year to the U.S. economy. That's quite a bit of change. Here, and you know, I don't know exactly where, if it's Pacific Northwest or where people are looking for these things, but I would assume Washington, maybe California, Northern California, looking for Bigfoot. But that's a lot of money. And speaking of looking for cryptids, not to brag or anything, but I literally wrote the book on how to investigate cryptids with my 2014 book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist. Wait, what? You don't like to read? You'd rather spend thousands of dollars traveling to find these creatures? Well, I've got just the thing for you. The International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, which is headed by world-renowned cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, has teamed up with Berlin, Germany-based travel website Holiday Pirates. What a cool name. If I was a travel website, I would be jealous of that name. I would want that name. Holiday Pirates. Very cool. To bring you travel plans to visit many of the cryptid hiding spots all over the world. How cool is that? Pretty cool. Lauren Coleman was the reason why my 2014 book became a 2015 second edition, as he approached me about selling the book at the International Cryptozoology Museum. He also made it one of the top books, cryptid books of 2014 on his very elite list of cryptid books. And he wrote a foreword for the book. And again, I had to remake a second edition back in 2015 for this book. The travel site Holiday Pirates was formed in 2011 and has quickly spread throughout the world. So if you want to find cryptids, this website, it's a pretty good starting point here. So do you want to search for the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot? Well, okay, if you're an amateur, I mean, everybody knows these guys and everybody looks for this stuff. Well, this site offers packages to Scotland as well as the United States. Although when I looked stuff up, I was kind of a little let down with this. It's just basically kind of travel packages, hotel, airfare, that's it. It's not really any kind of journey to some remote destination of looking for these creatures or anything like that. It just kind of gets you to the area. The rest is up to you. I guess maybe contact me and I can, you know, you can pay me to guide you to find these creatures. Better yet, just buy me a plane ticket and, you know, I can sleep on the couch in the hotel. I'm fine with that. And I'll be your guide. How's that? That'll work out for all parties involved. The search results here for the United States had packages to Southern California, New York City, and other areas where Bigfoot really isn't that popular. Well, they did have Orlando, I guess, which could give you a good starting point to head south and look for the skunk ape. Well, that is if you can make it past the giant rat known as Mickey Mouse. One of the interesting pieces of this website is Beyond the Cryptids, as it also offered a reimbursement of airfare if one was able to provide photographic proof of one of the cryptids in the wild on this list using the travel website. So if you traveled and you bought airfare and you found one of these things and you took a picture of it, you get your money back. I mean, that's the least of your excitement, I'm sure. And you'd be pretty famous, of course. The photographs would then have to be verified by the International Cryptozoology Museum as well as Holiday Pirates. And, well, that contest, unfortunately, seems to have only run for September and October, as the story was posted on Holiday Pirates on their website back in early September of this year. Like I said, I was a little late to this party, but I still think it's a really interesting story and website. So other than these two usual suspects, Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, the website also offers a travel to find some other popular cryptids and some fairly obscure from popularity. You can visit Nepal, northern India, western China in search of the Yeti, which is also known as the Abominable Snowman. And the description of the creature also notes that despite popular thought, these creatures are not white. That's right. They're not white. I know they have Disney World, Disneyland. They have the creature depicted as white, but he's not. He's not reported that way anyway. China sounds interesting, but you don't like the heights. You don't like the mountains, or maybe it's the snow. Yeah, I'm not in favor of it right now. So how about searching for another one of Bigfoot's cousins? Or maybe it's more accurately, it's redheaded stepchild instead. So you can go in search of the red-haired Yeren that stands between 6 and 8 feet tall, which is around 400 reports since 1940. Do you like dinosaurs? Well, then head to the Republic of Cameroon in West Central Africa in search of the Mokele Mambembe, which translates locally to one who stops the flow of rivers. So this is said to be a long-necked creature resembling a dinosaur sauropod, like the Brontosaurus if you're old school, or the Apatosaurus if you're under 40, and was the subject of the 1985 movie Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend, starring William Catt. Yeah, you know William Catt, the greatest American hero. Yeah, I'm showing my age here on this story. How about southeastern Africa and a trip to Tanzania? Yeah, from here you can search for the elusive cat creature Mingwa, also known as the Nunda, that is described as a large black cat with stripes on its back. And yeah, I said it's large. It's said to be as large as a donkey. I don't know why they compared it to a donkey. It sounds kind of asinine. But I guess that's all they have to describe it with. So, okay, Africa is not your thing. How about Indonesia? Java, Vietnam, and the Philippines are said to be home to a giant bat-like creature called the Ahul. And if that's too far to travel, well, how about the United Kingdom? I mean, who needs to see Big Ben when you can search for British big cats, also known as ABCs, or alien big cats? So these mysterious cats are thought to be escaped exotic pets or large cats the size of panthers, possibly breeding in the wild, which have cool names like the Beast of Bodmin and the Beast of Exmoor. Pretty cool names, if you ask me. So maybe you need something a little closer to the United States. Well, how about Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, maybe Brazil? From here, you can search for another one of the top cryptids, my favorite, the Chupacabra. So these spiny creatures like to eat goats. So as long as you bring a goat along, you should be okay. Okay, well, maybe it's a little scary. Well, Holiday Pirates also offers trips to the east coast of the United States where you can look for the Jersey Devil. No, it's not just a hockey team. It's a creature with a kangaroo-like body, a goat head, bat-like wings, horns, clawed hands, cloven hooves. And if that's not all, It's also reported to have a forked tail. The forked tail does it for me. I'm going to stay out of the Pine Barrens. It sounds like something you might actually find in a bikini at the Jersey Shore instead of the Pine Barrens. So check out the Holiday Pirates website and follow an adventure to find a cryptid. And again, you'll also need a book to read on the flight, and I've got you covered for that. And if you need a guide, let me know, and I'll check out my schedule, and we'll try to work something out. So a pretty cool story. I thought it was really neat how they've incorporated cryptozoology with traveling, and it's not the first time I've talked about a story like that. Crypto tourism seems to be a big deal. And a lot of these travel websites, I think it was Travelocity, had a site not that long ago, or a kind of an article not that long ago on this kind of stuff. So pretty cool stuff. And again, tied into the International Cryptozoology Museum, I thought was really, really neat on that as well. So there's a link to the Holiday Pirates article, and you can enjoy that. And again, if you're not live in the chat room, I don't hold that against you. And I will be putting these links out during the week through my social media, facebook.com/Paranews Insider or Twitter @Paranews Insider. So follow me, friend me, like me, whatever you want to do. Just don't call me Shirley and we'll get along. And you can follow these stories as I post them. And in other news, quick here. Yes, Atlantis. It's been discovered. We found it. Well, we didn't find it. I didn't find it. Anyway, I don't take any credit for that. The lost city of Atlantis has fascinated mankind for centuries. Many feel this was just the part of the fictional works of the philosopher Plato, but some think that the advanced city of Atlantis was actually real and a place that modern technology can locate. Well, Tim Akers of the Merlin Burroughs British private satellite imaging company makes the claim that he and his fellow researchers have located the mythical city of Atlantis in a swampy region in southern Spain. The team studied several sites in the area, most of which archaeologists were already aware of, despite the claims of these two, but failed that they are created by the ancient Romans and Greeks rather than the Atlanteans. Those of Atlantis, I should say. The city of Atlantis is said to have had a wall about 5 miles long, which Akers feel they have found. He also says that they have proof that this area is Atlantis because their technology is more advanced. The stuff that they built, anyway. He claims that the crew discovered a type of cement not seen before. Probably never been to Ohio, as well as ancient advanced metallurgy that was older than Greek and Roman technology, as well as more advanced. But the proof is still words and very little in the way of facts, other than some fancy pictures. So, you know, we'll see. The team has even put together a documentary about their research and investigation into the area, which is called Atlantica. Michael Donnellan of Ingenio Films, which produced the documentary, says about the film on a press release on the website, in part, quote, Atlantica is the first in the Atlantica series, and this two-hour film, we document and identify every single item that Plato described using years of research and extraordinary technologies. The focus of this first installation of the Atlantica series is to identify beyond any doubt that this discovery is indeed Atlantis. In our complex discovery of Atlantis, we have involved every available science and technique along the way in order to show the facts, for which our team has included a multidisciplinary set of experts, sciences, technologies, and academia. Unquote. Well, time will tell if their proof can stand up beyond their beliefs and if this just isn't a ploy for some attention of some sort or just to sell their show. Personally, I watched the teaser trailer for Atlantica, and I don't know, it kind of feels like it has a certain kind of ancient aliens feel to it, and not in a good way. Ancient aliens, and this kind of, it seems like they're about ready to unleash a lot of opinions in the form of facts, twisting information to suit their feelings. It's going to be pushed out so fast, one at a time, that's going to be really difficult to figure out what's real and what's not. Just like Ancient Aliens does to you. So, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll see how this thing develops. But I don't know. I'm a little weary on them saying that they've discovered Atlantis. A lot of people have said this over the years, and so far, no one's really definitively found this place. And just because we have modern technology doesn't mean that we can create facts from potential a mythical story. You know, it's who knows? But again, we're going to keep an eye on that story, and we'll see how that one develops. And with that, we're going to jump over to the year that almost was. We still have a month left. It's going to be sad to see 2018 go. But here in the world of the paranormal, it's been an interesting year, but it's not been an overwhelmingly exciting year, I guess. There's not really stories that just jump out and you go, wow, that's got to be the number one story of the year. There's not really a story that captivated everybody from the paranormal to the mainstream media beyond, you know, a few days. But there is a top story. And this is one of those difficult years where maybe four or five stories really could have been that number one story. So I really did wrestle with this, and it gets harder the further down the list you go, believe it or not. Getting stories that crack the top 10, I've literally gone through. Some of these stories in the top 10 are actually multiple stories lumped together. There's a few of these that are one or two different stories that are along that same line that are put together. Some are about the same kind of subject matter, so they're kind of lumped together. And the way I kind of rank these stories is I look at how viral they are. Were they really viral just for those of us in the paranormal? Was it really a big story? Was it just a Facebook-type story? Did it really inundate social media and become really, really super popular? And was it popular beyond social media? Did it come from some obscure photograph or video, maybe posted on social media, but then got talked about all over the regular media, not just some of these United Kingdom rag magazine kind of media outlets, but regular media? Were they really viral? Were they really popular? So it's one aspect I look at. The other aspect is, what do they really have to do with the paranormal? How far do they advance any one of these fields? Do they really help either overcome something, discover something, or really gain a little bit of credibility for something in the paranormal, whether it's UFOs, cryptozoology, ghosts, or anything else? You know, a few years ago I had the discovery of multiple exoplanets as the number one story. So, you know, it might not be strictly paranormal, but if it's something that ties things to potential things that tie into the paranormal, such as life in outer space, I think that's a pretty big deal, because it's talking about aliens. I mean, what's bigger about UFOs than the people that supposedly drive these things around outer space or around Roswell, New Mexico, with distracted driving and crashing in a thunderstorm in the desert? I don't know. So it's really difficult to really put these in a strict ranking, in a strict order. So it's on a whim, and it's my fault. You know, I used to ask social media. I used to ask, hey, you guys help me out. And then I kind of like wanted a little control over that, because some people want certain stories to be number one. I'm like, maybe not. You know, maybe this other film or this other film, this other story has a little bit more of a firm grasp of the paranormal than the story that you like. You like it because it was something that you liked, and a whole bunch of people jump on the bandwagon. So I took creative control over the top 10 paranormal news stories a while ago, and I keep it how I want it. So if you want to blame anybody for stories not making the top 10 or for your story not being number one, well, there's only one person to blame, and that's me. Perhaps I'll go back to asking people their opinion about it, because I do want the show to be about you guys, the listeners. You know, this is just having fun with these stories, and I do like to rehash these things, because some of these stories we might have forgotten about. Some of these happened earlier in the year. Some of them are kind of funny. Some of them are frustrating. And some are just really, really interesting, how they may have helped sculpt the culture of belief surrounding them. And stories like that tend to get a little higher up there on the list. But a few of these, like I mentioned, have multiple ones kind of combined. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, probably about half of these are multiple stories that kind of went together, either on the same subject or different versions of something that kind of tie together. But still very difficult. I still have a huge pile of stuff that didn't make it. A lot of stuff that didn't make it. And we'll talk more about those. Yes, I hate to tell you, Bigfoot Erotica did not make it. As big as that was in the political world, I didn't make it. It's kind of a black eye here for cryptozoology. So, and I didn't make it, unfortunately. The Thailand clarinet-wielding trolls, as cool as that story was, it's kind of viral. It did pretty good. I didn't make the top 10. That North Carolina UFO video that turned out to be the Goodyear blimp didn't make it. Poor Jim Mallard, who's got to do his show, The Mallard Report. Is that still TMR247.com? I forget. If it's not, it should redirect you. Great show. He's got to duck out of the chat room. You get it? Jim Mallard's got to duck out of the chat room and do his show, the Mallard Report. But thanks for listening in live. I do appreciate that. And I'm going to have to let him know what the number 10 and number 9 stories are, so he's up to date. He's got to go do his show. So with that, we're going to jump into the number 10 story this year on the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2018. And I had a hard time with this one. I really, honestly, truly did not want this in the top 10. I didn't. I fought long and hard. I got mad at myself and threw a temper tantrum. No, it's not making the top 10. But it just kept sneaking in and just saying, no, I've got to be here. At one point, it was probably a little higher in the countdown, but I pushed it all the way down to number 10, as far as I could push it, because it's a really frustrating story. It's one that I was not happy with, but I have to report it because it's in the news, and it was a pretty popular story, and it's been dragging through the paranormal news since last year. And not my favorite person, but not my least favorite person in the cryptozoology world by far. There's one other person that I don't care what he does, he will never make the top 10. But this guy here, this story was just really, really kind of annoying. But I had to include it. So number 10 this year in the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2018 is none other than Todd Standing. So if you don't know who Todd Standing is, well, Todd Standing has been a Bigfoot researcher for a long time. Self-proclaimed Bigfoot researcher, and has even teamed up with Survivor Man. You know him, Les Stroud, the guy that hangs out in the woods by himself, eating gosh knows what to survive, while a helicopter is just a phone call away. He directed his own documentary, Discovering Bigfoot, in 2017, which made it to Netflix. So Standing has done his best to kind of get into the television show stuff with Discovering Bigfoot. That being said, Standing has been in the center of controversy over the years, and his purported evidence, as well as many claims he's made, really wouldn't hold up in court. His evidence has been shaky at best, and people have really torn him apart over some of this stuff, but he believes that everything he sees is legit. So Standing's latest escapade, involves suing the province of British Columbia over their denial of the existence of the creature, as well as that this violated his rights, that he hindered his work as a Bigfoot researcher. The lawsuit was filed in October of 2017 and essentially accused the provincial government of damaging his livelihood and credibility by the, quote, non-recognition of Sasquatch, unquote. He also challenged the court to allow him to bring a biologist of their choosing into what he called, quote, known Sasquatch habitat for 3 months so that he could validate his personal claims. In January of this year, Stanning joined forces with Claudia Ackley, along with her video of a purported Bigfoot that climbed a tree and was 30 feet up in this tree, to help sue the state of California. Now, Ackley eventually dropped the lawsuit prior to the March 19th hearing date, of which Stanning blamed his lawyer for abandoning the case. Meanwhile, the British Columbia case got a lot of press throughout 2018, although it came to a crashing and predictable end in August. Todd Stanning's British Columbia Bigfoot case was tossed out of court by the judge. The judge did take a little bit of time to reflect on the case, but British Columbia Supreme Court Justice Kenneth Ball found no reasonable cause for the lawsuit and said the court had no power to compel the province to conduct scientific investigations of its flora and fauna. The judge also dismissed the claim that Stanning's rights were being violated, as the province never had placed restrictions on his Bigfoot-related interests. The claim that his rights were being infringed and his way of life affected was his only wedge to get into the court system, but it was also the easiest thing to shred in court. The document dismissing the claim said in part, quote, "The non-acknowledgement of the Sasquatch does not in any way prohibit or restrict the plaintiff's ability to express his thoughts, beliefs, and opinions regarding the Sasquatch," unquote. That being said, Stanning still plans on attempting the same lawsuit in other parts of Canada and the United States. But first, he's going to have to pay the British Columbia's province's legal fees for this first attempt. I don't think that's going to teach him anything. So what made this story... what made the story be in the top 10? This was the biggest Bigfoot story, sadly, the biggest Bigfoot story all year. And Stanning got a lot of attention between his documentary and the two lawsuits and popped up in the news many times during the year. Unfortunately, his personal crusade did not do much to help the credibility of the possibility of a Bigfoot creature surviving in the forests. And it didn't really help those who attempt to find them as well. It was kind of a black eye, really. A lot of people agree that he's not really helping anything. He's not really giving the right kind of attention for what people are trying to get for this. It doesn't really help the credibility at all. I mean, courts, you got to prove something, really. You got to have more than a story. And a couple of pictures or CGI of somebody in makeup or a mask blinking in the woods, it's not going to work. So why is the story number 10? Why couldn't I flush it out of the top 10? And why did I stand for it to be in the top 10? Well, despite the headlines and the media, Stanning got little mention of the story from the paranormal. A lot of people in the field did their best to distance themselves from him and this story. And nothing really came really from this frivolous lawsuit so far. But it was, again, it was the biggest Bigfoot story. And kind of felt obligated, and plus it would drag through the year. I mean, all year long, Stanning popped up pretty much every month. So he did actually submit the Patterson-Gimlin film as evidence, along with his documentary. Dr. Melba Ketchum and a few other scientists that believe in Bigfoot were kind of along for that ride as well. But I think some of those guys are kind of slowly tiptoeing away from this as well. I think they've learned their lesson on that one. So again, the number 10 story of this year, the top 10 paranormal news stories, number 10, Todd Stanning. And number 9, real quick, don't worry, I'll let you get to bed. Trust me, I need my beauty sleep as well. Number 9, yes, you might have remembered this one, the strange creature that wandered into the live shot in Utah. That's right, a viral story made it into the top 10, a viral video, I should say. So this cracked the news back in October as a video created a controversy on October 3rd as speculation ran rampant as to what kind of creature seemingly wandered into the live shot of a reporter who was doing an on-site report in Utah in the early morning hours. So she was standing there, and this creature kind of wandered into the shot and walked up to her. All we could see is its, I guess, its backside and his ears as it's walking towards this blonde-haired reporter, a female reporter standing there talking about flooding in the area in this particular spot in Utah. So to many, the creature appeared to be a mountain lion that had wandered up to the reporter and nonchalantly walked by her and out of the shot. Well, the creature was the right color, had a long tail with a black tip, and could have easily been a mountain lion in that area. It wouldn't be unheard of. So the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources stated that it could not identify the animal from the video, which kind of made me feel good because I couldn't figure it out either. I was pretty sure it wasn't, personally. But their admittance that they couldn't figure it out created even more speculation. It led to a lot of people arguing back and forth via social media about the identification of this creature. Again, some were saying it was a dog, while many others said mountain lion. I mean, that's kind of crazy. It's either dog or cat. Well, that narrows it down. Well, there was some serious emotions at work on social media over the story. And KUTV reporter Morgan Saxton initially was sidetracked during her live coverage in the report, stating, quote, live on the air, she said, quote, "That we are seeing is actually a dog coming into our live shot," unquote. Although strangely, as the animal got closer to her, she suddenly didn't seem as positive as she said, quote, "I think it's a dog. I'm not sure. But there's some sort of creature below me," unquote, as she continued on with her report. Obviously, when you're doing live TV there, there's kind of a light in your eyes, so it's really kind of hard to tell what's coming up, you know, in front of you like that. So I get it that she couldn't identify it. You know, people were calling her names, and I don't think that was appropriate. It's really hard when you're trying to concentrate on a camera and you have a light in your face and all this stuff is going on around you. So she did pretty good with that, I think. While she did sound nervous and unsure of this creature, she never really moved as the animal went by her. The animal did turn, but the reporter was blocking the view of what the creature looked like from the front. A fellow reporter, Chase Thomason, fueled the Twitter fire by reporting a few times that he felt a cougar had walked through the live shot. This would not be cougar behavior, but there was no evidence until later when the Utah Division of Wildlife responded to the scene and discovered dog tracks of where the creature had been. It didn't take too much longer for after that the owner of this particular dog posted a picture on sent it to the news station, and all the world got to see this. I never found out what the dog's name was, but I still love it. I love it that this mystery was solved. Sometimes these stories just kind of fade away. You never hear, you never find out what happened, or it goes into obscurity. But to me, I like closure with these kind of things, and the definitiveness of somebody stepping forward, and the picture of the dog really matches what we saw in there. And why did the story make the top 10? Well, despite being solved within a day, this was a highly viral and highly argued story. A lot of people were involved in this, giving their opinions. Some were on the cougar side, some were on the dog side, and some were not even convinced that the outcome was right, despite all of the evidence to the contrary. The story highlights how our thoughts, feelings, and other emotions mean very little when it comes to the identification of an animal. The highly contested debate of identification of the creature made this an enjoyable story to watch unfold that has many ties to other viral stories dealing with creatures and even UFOs and ghost phenomena. So why was this story only number 9? Well, it really wasn't truly paranormal, as mountain lions are not unusual sightings in Utah. And despite this, the viral and contested nature of the short-lived story helped to power this into the top 10 over many other similar types of stories. And we'll talk about those stories as we kind of wear our way through this top 10 in the upcoming weeks. So that's number 10 and number 9. And stay tuned next week for number 8 and number 7 of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2018. But that's going to do it for the month of November and this episode number 377. Big thanks to everybody in the chat room for listening live. I appreciate that, and asking questions and being involved. I'm great with that, and I enjoy the live atmosphere of a radio show. So thank you very much for everybody in the chat room and those of you who are not in the chat room yet listening live. And also thank you to those that are listening to this as a podcast. And for that, I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.